Hey, it's the good folks at Comics for Fun and Profit reminding you that nobody Patreons like we Patreon. So join us at C4FAP and go over to Patreon.com/ComicsFunProfit and sign up at a level of your choosing. There's various tiers with various goodies for you. Something that everyone gets at any level is you get to be a part of our Slack channel community. And you get early and ad-free access to all our episodes. But wait, there's more. So go over to Patreon.com/ComicsFunProfit and check out all we have to offer. We urge you, sign up today.
Aloha! It's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing the creative team of Ahoy Comics hit series and, the hit series, The Wrong Earth. I have writer Tom Pyre and artist Jamal Igle. They are here to promote The Wrong Earth Dead Ringers. Issue 1 is out in stores right now. Issue 2 comes out on April 17th. Tom and Jamal, welcome to the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
I'm happy good to be here.
So, Jamal, how are you doing?
I'm well. It's a little harried over here. I'm in the middle of helping plan a comic book convention at my kid's high school.
So. Nice.
Good luck.
Oh yeah, thanks. It's a lot of work.
Is it? It's a lot of work. Are you gonna have like creators show up and stuff?
Oh yeah, no. Larry Hama is gonna be there. Carl Pott, Greg Pak, Amy Chu. We have people from Sesame Street. We've got landscape architects. We've got actors, cosplayers. My kid Rio goes to the High School of Art and Design in New York City.
Yes, lucky kids.
This is their event. So they're an animation major. So we have like animators and architects and landscape architects and filmmakers, and photographers. Yeah, it's a big thing. So
that's the one like Kurtzman and Bill Elder went to, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, and I'm also a graduate of A&D. So
wow.
Oh, that is nice. So, okay, I'm sorry. Let me just, so off the cuff, Jamal, I'm going to ask. So, okay, I know you said you're going to have Larry Hama there. Oh, my God, man. Such the legendary writer who wrote G.I. Joe 40 years ago, the comic book. Oh, my God. And I'm sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, but did I hear you say you're also going to have Carl Potts there as well, too?
Oh yeah, no. We have Carl Potts is going to be there. He's going to do a seminar on storytelling for comics. We've got creators like Chris Cross, Chris Batista, Greg Pak is going to be there. Ryan Dunleavy is going to be there.
Wow.
Because we were able to plan it out so far advanced this year, and there weren't any other competing conventions, we were able to get like a lot of like local talent who we weren't able to get last year.
Is this open to the public?
It is open to the public. It's April 6th and 7th in Manhattan at the High School of Art and Design.
Oh, okay. All right. So Jamal, I'm going to say, so listeners, I'm going to have Jamal's going to be with us for a little bit. He's got to be, he's going to be leaving sometime during the interview to return to Earth Alpha. Not to do more research for The Wrong Earth. He's got to apply this comic book convention, But I'm being serious, Jamal.
Everything in The Wrong Earth, it's all done with mirrors.
That's right.
But I'm going to see Jamal, I'll let you know when it's time, I'll give you a cue because I don't want to keep you too long, but I'm going to ask you again to plug the convention before you go. But yes, oh my God. Okay, we need to move on because we could sit here and talk all day about Carl Potts and all right. Before we begin the interview, I want to give a big shout out to Hannah Bahedria, Superfan Promotions. Hannah, thank you very much for setting up this interview. And Hannah, listeners, Hannah does a lot of hard work behind the scenes. She helps us out here at Comics for Fun and Profit, you know, scheduling interviews, sending out press releases to a lot of people. So Hannah, thank you very much. Jamal and Tom, would you guys like to add anything to that?
Oh, no, absolutely. Hannah's a superstar.
Hannah is the greatest. Hannah is the greatest. And she wrote a really good comic story in a recent issue of our title, Project Cryptid.
Yes.
And that'll be in the trade paperback when it comes out next year. But she's really funny and really sharp.
Yes, I remember I read that story. That was very good. So,
yep.
All right, Tom, I'm going to say promote your, where can listeners follow you on social media?
Well, I'm on Blue Sky as Tom Pyre and Twitter as Tom Pyre. I hate Twitter now. So you'll find, I'll go to Twitter to plug the comic books and stuff. But I save my precious wit for Blue Sky now because it's not as full of people I hate.
All right, Jamal, what about
that? And we've got the newsletter too, Hannah's newsletter.
Yes.
Which you can subscribe to. It's free and funny. And it's bit.ly/newsahoy.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's all lowercase.
All right. And then Jamal, where can people follow you?
Well, like Tom, you can find me on Blue Sky as Jamal Igle. I have a Twitter presence, but I don't post on Twitter. And that's also Jamal Igle. But I'm also on Threads and Instagram as Jamal Igle Comics. And then for everything, like if you just want to find out everything, like appearances, everything, you just go to JamalIgle.com.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Now, listeners, before we jump in, I just want to give a quick recap. Tom and Jamal, please correct me if I got this wrong. Now, The Wrong Earth is about two superheroes, Dragonfly Man, think of Batman 66, who lives on Earth Alpha, and Dragonfly, think of Batman 89, who lives on Earth Omega. One day, they at the same time accidentally are transported via the Mega Mirrors to each other's worlds. Ahoy Comics has been producing, the series for the last 5 years. All their stories have been collected in, the crossover stories are in two volumes, actually three volumes. I'm sorry. The recent two part of The Wrong Earth, We Could Be Heroes, the two-part issue, those single issues are still out in stores. So please check those out. Tom, Jamal, do you guys want to add anything to that?
Well, this is just one of the most enjoyable projects I've ever worked on. I love these heroes and I love my collaborator. And it's just, I can't wait to read it when I'm writing it, frankly.
Nice. Jamal, do you want to add anything to that?
I don't know what else I could add to that. I mean, when Tom and Stuart Moore approached me about doing this, like there was zero hesitation, like from the outset. It's one of those brilliant sort of why didn't I think of this? Why didn't anybody think of doing it this way kind of concept?
Yeah.
And I think personally, like, over the last 6 years that we've been working on the series, like each iteration has gotten better. And,
yes.
The characters themselves have grown and changed. And, we've got this kind of little corner that I know that, the people who pick up the books, like, really, really enjoy. And frankly, like, I have so much fun working on this series. Like, I put so much energy
yes
and detail, and it's, you know, a lot of that honestly is due to Tom. A lot of that, like, you can't help but be enthusiastic about working on something that's this much fun. Yes. That you look forward to coming back to doing each time.
Yes.
Like, there aren't a lot of projects that are like that. I mean, there are a lot of projects where you're just kind of like, if you're on something long enough, for several years, or, you know, because I've been on long runs on series. There's a point where you could hit like kind of like this kind of null point where you just kind of go through the motions, but I've never had that issue working with Tom on the wrong Earth in six years. That's like,
nice. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it might help that we take half a year off. But it is the most, I really look forward to all of these too. I just want to see what these guys are going to do next. These, you know, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man. Because usually I sort of let them tell me when I'm in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And they haven't disappointed me yet.
Tom, that's the perfect segue. And Jamal, please feel free to jump in. So Tom, all right. So what is the Wrong Earth Dead Ringers? What is this story about?
Well, Earth Alpha is the sort of sunny, nice, funny, campy world that is, whose founding document is the Comics Code. They live under the Comics Code. And for the first time, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man are both there. Mm-hmm. Now, when Dragonfly was there before, he learned to really like the place, because compared to what he's used to, it's very low stakes. Mm-hmm. It's less dangerous. It's less tragic. It's not at all a tragic place. But sharing it with Dragonfly Man is not something he's enjoying at all. And it's mutual. They're not really, is the planet big enough for both of them? Plus, there's really something going on with Dragonfly that he won't talk about. And but he's changing in a way that is upsetting to other people. Mm-hmm. So the process of dragging it out of him will be a difficult one.
Okay, all right. Because I'm not giving away, hopefully I'm not spoiling anything, but when I read the first issue, because there's that event where, correct me if I'm wrong, Dragonfly Man is in costume and Richard Fame, his alter ego, is present on stage. Is that correct? And then I think, and then Richard Fame, who plays Dragonfly, he's a little pissed. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah. Dragonfly Man is using Dragonfly, since they're the same guy when you take the mask off.
Yes.
Or they look the same anyway. He's using him to cover for his secret identity. You stand in for me as Richard, and it'll look like we both exist.
Yes.
And, we see right away that something is eating at Dragonfly, and he can't even carry off this simple deception.
Yes.
His mood won't let him do it.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I'm going to ask, do you want to add anything to that, or?
I think the only thing that I can really add, just from like a character standpoint, I think, you know, especially with Dragonfly right now, there was always the opportunity for him, once, you know, at the end of We Could Be Heroes, I think his natural assumption was that he and Jordan Stinger 2 were going to return to Earth Omega, and things were going to finally go back to normal. So to kind of have that yanked away, really, I think, is really part of what sets him off. And it's a great visual dichotomy also between the two of them, especially in the first issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's not, it kind of always reminds me of those, you know, in a way, those the Silver Age Superman stories where there'd be like a Superman robot, or even yeah. like, you know, in the '80s when, you know, Martian Manhunter would stand in, or Supergirl would stand in during the Triangle era. You know, when the Matrix Supergirl would transform into a version of Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know, especially after Death of Superman, when they had to, you know, they had to explain, wait, how is Clark Kent still alive? Where did he go? Yeah. Oh, I've been trapped under the rubble for months. Yeah. On pork and beans.
The best Clark Kent stand-in was President Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
He stood in once. That's a great one. And it's and it ends with Superman and President Kennedy together in the Oval Office, and Superman is saying, "If you can't trust the President of the United States, who can you trust?"
Oh. If I ever get the DC app, I have to track down that story on the
totally check on that. I'll give you the issue number if you want.
Yes. Oh, I'll get to you after the interview. Yeah, sure. So okay, Jamal, I'm gonna start with you first. Mm-hmm. Who is this mysterious figure, the Reader? And Tom, feel free to jump in. I love it. It's great. It reminds me of the like the old style Destiny in the 1980s comics.
Oh yeah. No, I the Reader is the omnipresent force of Ahoy Comics. He can read, he can collect, but he cannot interfere with Ahoy's stories. And even if the stories go bad, he still has to collect them.
That's right.
He has no choice. But, you know, I definitely wanted to evoke that feeling, you know, that like the Spectre, the Phantom Stranger, the Beyonder, name any, like, the Watcher, obviously.
Watcher.
But I also wanted to bring the ridiculousness of our universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, with that character. So he looks very regal until one panel where he's floating and you realize, like, his costume's like 18 miles long.
He has to float everywhere. He just tripped.
He has no choice. It's that thing. It's one of the things about working on this project with Tom is Tom and I have very similar senses of humor, and we have very similar sensibilities when it comes to comics, and I think a very similar love of the history of comics as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tom can say something to me and I know exactly what he's talking about and I know exactly what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nice. That's right. That is nice. Jamal, I know we got to let you go soon. I'm going to ask you one question I want to ask between you and Tom is, and this is a process question, because I know you guys have been working on this series for the last 6 years, and Jamal, you mentioned a little bit that, and Tom too, that you guys always have fun coming back to this. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the advantages of doing the Wrong Earth miniseries at least once a year?
I think the break helps, actually. I think it gives us, I know for me, because I do so many, because in general, I do so many projects and I try to, like, you know, I always, there's always a place for the Wrong Earth in my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always make sure that Ahoy, working with Ahoy is a priority for me. But I also feel like having those breaks also allows me as the artist to come back to the series with slightly fresher eyes. Mm-hmm. And with every series, there have been tweaks. Mm-hmm. There have been tweaks to characters, been tweaks to designs to make things work a little bit better. You know, it gives me an opportunity to do research for certain things, to find, you know, just the right look to build on the world. are the worlds that, that I have been shepherding. I can't say creating necessarily, because a lot of, like with Earth Alpha, it's this, 60s, it's Silver Age. There's a little modern age stuff thrown in. There's a lot of concept, like real world concept tech thrown in. There's, I do a lot of research for my projects in general, but in terms of like the Wrong Earth, especially, like I just kind of dove in and just found so much stuff that, unless you're like a really, really into the same like weirdo things that I'm into, like most people don't even notice, but that's what makes it fun. But it's that distance, I think,
I think I was impressed when you found the concept car prototype for the Dragon Wagon.
Oh yeah.
Jamal works a lot harder on this book than I do. That should be clear to anyone who reads it. But I just say, go ahead.
No. What were you going to say, Tom?
I just say, put him in this silly, goofy planet, and Jamal will like go figure out the plumbing. what they do for plumbing.
All right, so Jamal, I'm gonna let you go, but before you go, please plug the comic book convention again.
Yes, okay, so the convention, it's officially called Fanfare NYC, and you can find out all of the information at Fanfare, Fanfaire NYC.com. It is a charity event for the PTA, the High School of Art and Design in Manhattan. It's April 6th and 7th.
Okay.
So, and like I said, Larry Hama, Amy Chu, Anthony Marquez, Chris Batista, Carl Potts, just a ton of folks. We have people from the Children's Television Workshop. We've got cosplayers. We've got motion graphics people. We've got architects. We've got advertising, branding, art people, just everything. So,
all right, that's cool.
That's great.
Jamal, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to let you go.
All right, Jason, it was really nice meeting you. Tom, I will talk to you later.
Great. Good to see you, Jamal.
You too.
All right, so Tom, I'm going to ask you, so again, that process question, for you, what are some of the advantages of doing the Wrong Earth miniseries at least like once a year for you as a writer?
Well, it has worked out really well for me, because when we finish a series and we're away from it for a little while, we come back to it. It's an obvious break for me to think, what's a new angle on this? So if you notice, every time we come back, the status quo has changed slightly. Somebody's usually trapped on a different Earth than they were before.
Yes.
And it's just a great breaking point to shake things up a little. And if we were doing a monthly, month in, month out, it probably wouldn't be quite as dynamic in that way. It would probably learn to sit still a little better.
Okay. But I have to say, what's really nice is I'm going to go back to the Wrong Earth, We Could Be Heroes, because when you're talking about breaks and how you can think of certain angles and stuff, because there is one scene between Dragonfly Man and Dragonfly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the mayor goes to Dragonfly Man, goes, wait, there's two of you? And then, oh no, he's my robot. And I didn't notice that you had Jamal holding up he's holding up like his three fingers to Dragonfly Man is holding his fingers up to Dragonfly, and he's telling him, I forget whatever the
to, just pay attention to every third word I say, and you'll get my secret message.
And that was great. I love it, because it was kind of going, okay, wait a minute, why is Dragonfly Dragonfly walk you in like, yes, I am the robot, and you know, and then it's so cool. That was, I love it because it's so subtle, you know, and it works for the story.
Yeah, I read a lot of 1950s Batman,
mm-hmm.
and I always have to say every superhero was like this. Every mass crime fighter was like this. This is not just a Batman pastiche, but
mm-hmm.
One of the things that really tickled me about him was he just had this infinite breadth of knowledge of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and like, you know, he was fluent in like railroad slang and once in a while he would come up with like Bill Finger writing it would research some crazy code that mm-hmm. you would never hear about otherwise. Like there was one Batman talked about called comb code, where you interpret like the way hairs are wrapped around the teeth on the comb into some code, and I'm sure it existed because that's the way Bill Finger wrote. Is he did like a lot of research like Jamal does,
mm-hmm.
So really sort of out of bounds stuff like that. Sort of, I really love synthesizing that and coming up with variations on it because Dragonfly Man would know that stuff.
Yes, that's true. That's let's see. I'm gonna start moving on because I want you to start. Let me just ask you about one more question about the Wrong Earth series.
Sure.
Actually, you know, you mentioned, you know, like you've read a lot of 1950s Batman. A lot of the DC characters at that time, you know, were all like this, like, hey, yay, let's do this. Will we ever see a Superman type character in the near future in the Wrong Earth?
I would never say never, mm-hmm. but it's not really something I think about in terms of this. Again, in those 50s comics, with all the superheroes, it seemed like they all had their own world. You know, they're all and they were the most important thing in it.
Yes.
And I like to preserve that as much as possible. I think it would, if a Superman type character showed up, it would make Dragonfly Man perhaps less important or less
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Yes.
Less amazing.
Yeah. But I'm going to say, because I haven't read too many of the 1950s stuff, but when you mentioned that, that's right. Because it wasn't until like the 60s where you start seeing, you know, the Cross, Brave and the Bold, Flash and Adam.
Right. Yeah. In late 50s for the world's finest Superman Batman team ups. But before then, it was, you could read 100 Batmans and never knew that anybody that great existed besides Batman.
That's right. Yeah. All right.
And it's also true of Captain America and everybody else, you know.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Let's switch gears, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Please feel free to promote upcoming series and trades and just jump right in. You know, you don't have to follow my questions, but, you know, you can jump right in. I'm going to say Deadweight's number one by Tyrone Finch and Sebastian Puriz. Now, that's going to come out on April 10th. What is
that? I love that comic.
Okay.
I'm not the editor of it. Sarah Litt is, but Tyrone Finch is a very, very funny writer, and The Earth's Beautiful by Sebastian. But what I love about it, it's kind of a buddy comedy
mm-hmm.
About two villains in a super villain team who just decide to quit the life. And can they walk away from it?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of them decides to quit, and the other one's kind of dragged along. But mm-hmm. They're miserable in that life, and when they get out of it, things happen to make them more miserable. And it's my favorite line in the book is when one of them says they're in this town that is suffering from the aftermath of a superhero supervillain battle. The mm-hmm. place is wrecked, and one of the characters says, we don't belong here. We don't belong anywhere. And that tugged at my heartstrings a little. So it's very funny and very amusing, yes, but it's also got a real well of feeling to it that I like a lot.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about The Con and Entree by Paul Cornell and Marika Cresta. Now, listeners, this trade is out in stores right now. I love it. It's basically, it's, to me, it's kind of sort of the going on between the behind the scenes at a major convention over the years.
We follow like a pretty wide range of characters.
Yes.
Who every year they go to this huge comic book convention, and we follow them through their lives. We check in with them, you know, mm-hmm, every 4 or 5 years, see how they're coming along. And some of them want to be comic artists. Some of them get to be, some of them don't get to be anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's TV actors and all the sort of things you'd see at comic convention, and dealers
who, mm-hmm,
just sort of sitting there discouraged as usual. And science fiction authors. So it's a beautiful cast of people. And what I really love about it, that one too, it's kind of similar to Deadweight's in that it's got real affection for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a, in a way it's kind of frivolous, and in a way it's kind of satirical, but Paul and Marika really seem to love them.
Oh yes. And like you said, when you talk about the wide cast of characters, I mean, we're talking about, you know, two young wide-eyed, you know, comic book fans, teenagers that want to become artists,
mm-hmm,
but then also too, we also and Paul also brings in, I still love it how he brought in two little girls that their dads bring them to this convention, and mm-hmm, we see them grow up through the years. And what I love about it is that they are comic book fans, and they never dropped out. And because they bring their daughters, their kids.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's great. It really is.
Yeah. I like that a lot myself.
You know. Let's see. Blacksmith, The Key to His Heart. Now, this trade is out in stores. Eric Palicki and Wendell Cavalcanti. That's the artist.
Cavalcanti. Yeah. Wendell Cavalcanti. Terrific artist. It's our only book in black and white, actually, which I like a lot. Again, Sarah Litt's the editor of this, mm-hmm, but not me, but I read it and I love it. And it's the main character is a sort of punk rock inflected private detective who's, mm-hmm, also a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
So that ought to tell you something. I mean, it'll be something that you haven't read before. And it's fun and mysterious. And there's a lot of noirish private eye action, but there's a lot of supernatural creatures and,
mm-hmm,
horrific kind of fantasy. And it's got, like every Ahoy comic, it's got a sense of humor too, which we insist upon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love it because it's the humor in there. I love it because it's a little organic, and it has a little bit of a real life feel to it. Mm-hmm. Because I keep thinking about the time when, in the first volume, I know, you know, the Minotaur. And one of the vampires are driving during the day. The vampire during the day, his car is, you know, is tinted to where you can't even see inside. But then the Minotaur just farts, and he goes, "Oh my god!" You know, it was the most hilarious scene because it's real.
It's a great scene.
And the funny thing is, they can't crack a window open because, you know, the vampire will get burned.
That's right. Nicely done.
Was. My Bad Volume 3. Now it's written by Bryce Ingman. Is Mark Russell coming back on that one too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they both wrote it.
And also Peter Krause. Now this volume returns, comes back in May. You want to talk a little bit about that?
I you'll get tired of hearing me say I love this comic, but I love this comic. It's it is a much more so than The Wrong Earth. It is a very broad and absurd and ridiculous humor comic about superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's always funny to me. And last we left that, it also, you can start anywhere. You don't have to read mm-hmm. all of it, you know, every series, but they're all funny and you'll enjoy them all. And what the masked superhero, masked crime fighter, the Chandelier, who is secretly a guy who owns a chain of lamp stores.
Yes.
He was, his secret identity was exposed last issue, ruining his life and ruining his career. So we see what happens after that in one of the books. And in the other one, in one of the story, Bryce and Mark, the writers, have their own story threads going, which always come together in the last issue.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce's thread has to do with Emperor King and Acid Chimp, or villains,
yes.
moving to a Pacific island chain that mm-hmm. is and former U.S. President John Adams, who has traveled through time and now has super strength,
mm-hmm.
Becomes the governor of these islands.
Mm-hmm.
So, and our villain wants to wrest them away from him. And it's all presented as stupidly as possible. One mm-hmm. of the villains is named Professor Octopus. So that should tell you everything.
Yes. All right, off the cuff question. So did Bryce come up to you guys, go, hey, my story is going to sit place in Pacific Islands. Can I spend three months in Hawaii and you guys pay for it? Did he give that to you guys?
You know? He wasn't smart enough to think of that.
Oh, Bryce, you missed your chance, Bryce.
Right. He's a very smart writer, but not so great at life.
Oh my God. Okay. Before I touch upon the final series, is there anything else you wanted to, because there was another book you wanted to promote.
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone that we have a wonderful book coming out written by Garth Ennis and drawn by Jason Burroughs, and it's called Babs, which is short for barbarian. And Babs is her name, and she's a sword wielding barbarian in a chainmetal bikini like others we've seen. And she is a really funny, wonderful character who just wants to get rich. She wants to find a cave with gold in it and kill the dragon and be rich.
Yes.
And there are things that interrupt her quest to become rich. And there are bad guys who will be very familiar to people who read a lot of news.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still set in this barbarian world with dragons, mm-hmm. and her sword talks, and her it's a very broadly funny, very exciting, real sword and sorcery in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Babs herself is just a memorable character. She's mm-hmm. just beautifully selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just goes in one direction until she's deflected from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like her a lot.
But thank you for reminding me about that. I missed that in when I was sending it, because I kept going, when I was typing all this up, I was going, there's one more Ahoy Comics. I forgot what it was. Okay, the final one.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not asking for spoilers or anything. The Toxic Avenger by Matt Boers, writing, and Fred Harper, the artist. Oh my God, that's a perfect combination for this miniseries.
Isn't it
yes.
perfect?
Yes.
I know. If you know Fred's work, you already know how perfect this is.
Yes.
You'd know him perhaps from our series Highball, and before that, Snelson.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. a couple of stories in the Edgar Allan Poe series. But he's just such a... his art is... he's perfect for Taxi, I thought, because his art can be very surreal.
Yes.
And very bizarre and kind of ugly, but it can also be very beautiful,
mm-hmm.
very yes. human. So he's who you want drawing this. Matt grew up with the Toxic Crusaders cartoon.
Oh.
So he burned to write the Toxic Avenger comics. I mean, he mm-hmm. really wants to do that, to the point where he was the one who got the ball rolling to get us the property.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So he met Lloyd Kaufman, the head of Trauma Pictures, at a comic book convention.
Oh,
and
nice.
he didn't really talk about it with him then, but that sort of like lit the fire in him that maybe mm-hmm. we can do this. So
mm-hmm.
and then our lawyer Lillian Lazier, senator, our publisher Hart Steele, made it really happen and made it really possible. But Matt got the ball rolling. And the best part was I did nothing.
Well, you did something. He said, wow, that's pretty cool. Let's do it. You know?
I did. I said, let's get Fred Harper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a joy editing this book because everybody involved in it. And, you know, I've asked a few people to do this kind of work or that on it. And the ones I've asked who are from New Jersey mm-hmm. have got to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people in New Jersey I didn't realize. New Jersey is a Toxic Avenger cult.
Oh, okay.
So
that is so cool. Again, I'm not asking you to spoil any. I know you said you have you seen like a little bit of the story, and have you already seen some of Fred's art on the series? Have you seen?
Yeah, he's drawn the first one already, and Matt's written two of them, and it's really good. It's kind of a reboot. It is a reboot, and it starts with Melvin Junko is the sort of teenage dweeb who people pick on, and there's a chemical spill, and he becomes the Toxic Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
In this variation of it, it's a little more satirical and a little more in line with current news stories.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. it's a train derailment that causes the toxic spill, mm-hmm. which is something that happens too often in mm-hmm. the United yeah. States and probably everywhere else. But the corporation that's responsible for the spill kind of cordons off the area to try to control the message.
Mm-hmm.
and keep their secrets. So there are corporate villains and sort of a social commentary, but there's also a lot of laughs and a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like we love with the Toxic Avenger. And he's got his mop and everything's yeah. gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something people have a lot of affection for, and maybe I'm explaining it as if you already know who he is and you don't know who he is, but he's a guy who gets transformed by pollution into a very ugly superhero
mm-hmm.
and very and pretty violent one.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of says it fairly, right?
Yes. No, but Tom, I'm going to say thank you very much for at least explaining who the Toxic Avenger is, because I know you're going to give me a weird look, but I've only heard about the Toxic Avenger. I've never seen the movie, and I need to chance.
That's all right. Yeah, I'll give you a pass on that.
Okay.
Trauma Pictures has a streaming service now. I think for like $5 a month, you can watch all their movies.
Oh, my God. I got to check that out.
Yeah.
Tom, last question. Any closing words to our listeners?
Oh, just thanks for reading comics and loving comics and keeping comics going. Thank you.
No, Tom, you know, Mahalo. Again, thank you very much for your time. You know, thank you for giving me another opportunity to interview you and also have Jamal come along for the ride as well. Thank you very much. Wish you all the success for The Wrong Earth Dead Ringers. Now, listeners, this issue, now issue two comes out on April 17th. I also want to thank Hannah of Superfan Promotions for help setting up this interview. Again, Hannah, thank you very much for all your hard work. If you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader, please check out The Wrong Earth Dead Ringers. I told Tom I love this series. It just reminds me, to me, this just it has a nice feeling of, it reminds me of the 1970s Justice League of America stories that I read as a kid. It's very funny, and it's made up with love. It's made with a passion. It is, and that's what I love about Ahoy Comics. And listeners, sorry, Tom, just give me a minute, because I also want to promote, like, you know, listeners, if you haven't checked out any of Ahoy Comics, you know, please, you know, like I said, either check out the Wrong Earth series. There's, you know, a couple, you know, about three or four trades that are out. Dead Weights, that's going to be coming out soon. Please check these out. My Bad Volume 3. And as Tom mentioned, Babs, and also too, The Toxic Avenger that comes out later this year. Again, I love reading Ahoy Comics. They are funny. And what's really nice too is that they have a nice little message in there too. It's not hit over the head, but there's subtle messages in there that really hits, that really tugs at the heart. It really is. And it's made with love. And like I always said, I love what Ahoy puts out, because it's made with love and with passion. So I want to thank Drew, the co-host of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And if you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.